Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you all this morning. All right, I want to start off this morning this way. What do these four things have in common? A sword, fire, honey, and rain. A sword, fire, honey, and rain. What do those four things have in common? Yes, they are all biblical metaphors for the Word of God. Whoever said they're all metaphors for God's Word or knew it was about God's Word, well done. Unless you looked in your program and saw what we were preaching about today, then you cheated and you get no credit. You know, asking a pastor to preach about God's Word, that's kind of like asking a gardener to talk about like their favorite flower or like a mechanic to talk about their favorite car. It's like a passion subject for me. It's a little, maybe a little dangerous. I thought I would start off with a quote from John Wesley to try to give a sense of my heart in this sermon this morning. This is how the quote goes. It says, I want to know one thing. The way to heaven, how to land safe on that happy shore. God himself has condescended to teach the way. For this very end, he came from heaven. He has written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God. I have it. Here is knowledge enough for me. Let me be a man of one book. That's my heart. We're going to look at God's Word today. The message for us this morning is pretty straightforward. It's take care to hear the Word of God and do it. Will you pray with me as we look to God's Word this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the gift of your Word to us. And we just ask and pray that you would help grow us in our faith this morning. God, we ask and pray that God, that we would fully apply ourselves to Scripture. And God, that we would fully apply Scripture to our lives. We ask and pray that you would move in our hearts to motivate us to that end. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, hopefully you do, turn with me to Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 16. We took our series in Luke a little bit out of order. So 2 weeks ago, Ben preached on the parable of the sower. Then last week I preached the end of 7. Now we're picking back up again in chapter 8, where Ben left off from the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8. So we're back on track. And the message for us this morning is take care to hear the word of God and do it. This comes straight out of the text in verses 18 and 21. And we're going to look at the three parts of this truth from our text this morning. You get a two-for-one special this morning. We're handling two texts at the same time because they share a common theme. And they so we're treating them together. They both are related to this parable of the sower that was preached a couple of weeks ago. Together, these two passages show that the true children of God are those who follow Jesus. They take care to hear the word of God and do it. And the passages are connected to the parable of the sower with a strong call to hear and to bear fruit. You remember in that parable, at the end of it, Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then when he explains that parable, he goes through the four different soils, verses 12 through 15, and every one of those soils is a different way of responding, hearing the word of God. Remember in verse 11, Jesus said that the seed is the word of God. And then he describes how the various people, the various soils respond to that. And so we're picking up here. And the first thing that we hear, oh, and you'll remember, the last part of that in verse 15, Jesus says that the good soil are those who, hearing the word of God, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience or endurance or perseverance. In other words, this is where we get this idea of God's people. If you're good soil, you will endure in doing good. You will persevere in good works. It's the perseverance of the saints in Luke 8:15. The essence of discipleship is following Jesus, hearing the shepherd's voice, and doing what he says. It's the first and most basic lesson of discipleship. So let's unpack this a little bit. The first thing we see is a warning. Take care how you hear God's word. We see this in verses 16 through 18. Would you look there with me? Look in your Bibles. Jesus says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then," or "therefore take care how you hear." This word "take care," it's just a common word for "see," but when it's given in the imperative, it's a warning. It says, it's like saying, watch out, look out, be careful about this. Beware, take care how you hear. For the one who has, to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Jesus is warning us in verse 18. Therefore, take care how you hear. This emphasis on hearing shows that the focus is still on responding to God's word that Jesus preaches, the seed. Remember, Jesus tells this parable of the soils, and he explains how these four soils represent responding to God's word. Now Jesus is applying the parable of the sower, and he's pressing it into the lives of his disciples. And he's saying, take care how you hear then. That is, Jesus is saying you should respond like good soil to the seed, the word of God. Now, whenever there's a therefore, we have to ask, right? What's the therefore there for? They point back, right? So what that means is, whatever we say about verses 16 and 17, it has to give the reason for verse 18, for this warning to take care how we hear God's word. I say that to you this morning because this verse 16, this idea of putting a lamp up on a lampstand, that was a proverb for them. Just like all proverbs, they can be variously applied depending on the situation. So in Matthew chapter 5, when you see that proverb, Jesus is using it in a different way than he is here. There he's saying, let your light shine so that other people can see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. Right? Are you familiar with this? Here, it's different. Here, Jesus is saying, the word is like light that will reveal all things. So be careful how you respond to the light. Every time that, it's like a proverb, you have to interpret it in its context. So let's look at verse 16. Here's a couple pictures of first century lights. This is from a museum in Istanbul. You put the oil on the top, like in this hole at the top, and then you light it off to the side. There's an example of what that would look like there. Jesus says, no one lights a lamp and then covers it up with a jar or puts it under a bed. That's ridiculous. Because it defeats the purpose of the light, which is what he says, so that those may enter may see the light. The whole purpose of a lamp is so that we would see. Jesus' teaching is the light. He shifted the metaphor a little bit here from seed to light. His teaching is the light. It's the light of God's word, and like all light, it illuminates. The purpose of light is that. So Jesus wants us to see the light of God's word is going to reveal all things that are hidden. That's why he says in verse 17, for nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. One day everything is going to be revealed. The truth will come out. Why? Because light not only illuminates, it exposes. So a couple weeks back, Sarah went grocery shopping. She came home, and I was helping her unload the groceries, and I missed a bag of groceries. It was in the back seat, like in the car seat, and I didn't see it. I was coming in, you know, from the trunk and didn't see the thing, and it was like refrigerated items. And it was one of those really hot days, and we found it several hours later. Thankfully, we didn't have to throw everything away. We were saved by a bag of frozen vegetables that kept everything cold inside, right? But typically, this was a daytime example, typically when Sarah goes grocery shopping, she does it at night because it's easier for her to shop without having all the kids with her. So on Thursday night, this Thursday, she comes home from grocery shopping at night. It's all dark outside. I'm helping her unload the groceries. So what do you think I did? Having just missed a bag. I looked through the car seat. I pulled out my phone and turned on my flashlight. And I was like, all right, I'm not going to miss a bag. Is there any bag that's hidden in this car that I can't see? You see, the light reveals what is hidden. It exposes what is really there. And God's word works in the same way. The light of Jesus' teaching is going to reveal all things. Nothing will remain hidden. So take care how you hear. Our response to Jesus' teaching exposes, reveals the soil of our heart and what our future will be. So he warns us, verse 18, look there. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. God's going to evaluate every person based on how they respond to the message of Jesus. That is, the gospel and his teaching. The message of salvation and all of the ways that that works out in our lives. The practical application is pretty straightforward. It's very clear. Be careful how you respond to God's word. Be careful how you hear. Why? Because those who respond to Jesus with faith, trusting him to save them, and then trusting and obeying his word, will be given more spiritual blessing. On the other hand, those who do not, who refuse to hear, trust, and obey, will suffer spiritual devastation. The good soil hears rightly. I'm way behind my slide. Sorry about that. Hears rightly. They hear the word, hold it fast, and bear fruit with endurance. That's the right way to hear. Those people will be given more spiritual blessing. So not only when they respond with faith to Jesus' message of salvation, will they receive heaven? But as they continue on in the faith, they will understand more of God's teaching. They will grow in their understanding of God's word. They will grow in their fruitfulness. They will grow in their rewards that await them in heaven. You cannot hear the word of God and stay the same. Every time you hear God's word, you either get a little bit closer to God, or you get a little bit farther away from him. But you never hear the word of God and stay exactly the same way that you are. You're either in the process of responding positively or negatively to God's word, but you're never just staying the same. Now, hearing the wrong way leads to losing even what you think you have. Jesus says, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Man, this is a shocking verse. What it tells us is that people can be self-deceived. They can deceive themselves, fool themselves into thinking that they're in the faith when they're not. The first three soils are self-deceived. They hear the word of God, but they bear no fruit. Their true condition will come to light. They think they have the word, but even this illusion will one day be destroyed. So take care how you hear. God's truth is the standard which will judge all people. God's going to hold us accountable for every word of God that we have heard in our lives. And on that day, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. Romans 2:16. So there's this need to respond with care to Jesus' teaching. Here's the question. Is the light of God's word received and reflected in your life? In other words, have you received the light of the gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you responded to Jesus by faith and received that light? And is that light the message of Jesus' teaching being reflected in your life? Spiritual gain and spiritual loss is at stake, so be careful how you hear. Now, on another occasion, Jesus' family tries to come and see him, and Jesus uses this as a teachable moment. Like, okay, this is a moment I can teach something. Jesus teaches that the true members of God's family are those who hear the word of God and do it. That is the distinguishing mark of all of God's children. They trust and obey. All right, look at verses 19 through 21. Look in your Bibles right there. Starting in verse 19, then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, hey, your mother and brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Now, this isn't a rejection of his earthly family. Jesus cared about his earthly family all the way until the moment of his death, making sure that his mom would be taken care of while he's on the cross. Clearly, this is not a rejection of his earthly family. Rather, he's emphasizing the fact that our allegiance to God and his word comes above everything else. His point here is that trusting Christ as Savior and obeying him as Lord is what shows that you're true children of God. You're in God's family. So this leads to points 2 and 3. Point number 2, be hearers of God's word. This is the first part of verse 21. Receiving Jesus' teaching begins with hearing. Okay, all of the Bible, all of Scripture is the word of Jesus. Can we just get rid of the red letter nonsense? Okay, if you want to highlight the words of Jesus in red, get a red highlighter, start in Genesis 1:1, and highlight everything until the end of the book of Revelation. Do you understand? All of God's word is Jesus' word. It's all God breathed. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 10:27. If you belong to Jesus, you will hear Jesus' voice, the voice of your good shepherd. Now, I could just tell you this morning, hear God's word. But as a motivation for hearing God's word, to actually be a hearer of God's word, I want to spend a few minutes describing it to you. Are you with me? My goal here in these next few moments is to give you motivation to be a hearer of God's word. So first of all, let's consider whose word it is. It is God's word, it says. Because God cannot lie, every word is true. Because God is eternal, every word endures forever. Because God is holy, every word is good and teaches what is good. God's word is objective moral truth, and it applies to all peoples in all cultures across all of history. Because God is sovereign king, his word has authority. Because God is all-wise, all-powerful, and all-knowing, his word gives wisdom and power, and every promise in it will come true. First of all, it is God's word. Second, let's consider what it's like. God's word is like a surgeon's knife that cuts to the core of a person. Sharper than any sword, it pierces to the division of soul and spirit, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. All of that lays bare before God, to whom we will give an account. That's Hebrews 4:12-13. God's word is like a map and a compass that sets the course of our life. It guides us so that we don't get lost on our way or wander into danger. It shows us the very best roads to travel, and it's a reliable guide for us. God's word is like a sword that strikes our enemy, the devil. In fact, it is our only offensive weapon to fight against the lies and the temptations of the devil. We are in a war, and God's word are like, God, the scriptures are like letters from home to us. God's word is like a fresh rain that falls on the earth. My grass has been so dry this summer and brown, it's gross. I need rain to fall and refresh my grass and the flowers and make them bloom. This is Isaiah 55:10. God's word is like rain that falls and brings growth in our lives. It never returns void, Isaiah 55:11. God's word is like a lamp shining in the darkness to light our path so that we don't stumble in the darkness. It shows us where to go. God's word is like bread and milk that nourishes, 1 Peter 2:2. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God's mouth. God's word. It's what sustains us. Having a famine of God's word is the worst kind of famine you can experience. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. But we don't just eat to stay healthy. We eat because we enjoy it. Amen? Food tastes good, which is why God's word is like honey. But it's sweeter and it's more satisfying. It rejoices the heart. God's word is like a love letter from a father who wants to pass on his wisdom. But even more than that, he wants to communicate the depth of his love. He wants to tell us how wide and deep and high is the love of God that he has for us. Ephesians chapter 3. God's word is like a will. It details the riches of our inheritance that we have as fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. God's word is like a solid rock under our feet on which we stand and build our lives when everything around us is sinking sand. God's word is like wonderful counsel from a beloved friend who comes to us in our trials and has exactly the right words of comfort and encouragement for us when we so desperately need it. God's word is all of these things and much more. You say, Michael, why are you so passionate about God's word? I don't know. Let me think about it for a minute. What would you call a man who has a map and a compass and never looks at them or asks for directions? Ladies, don't say my husband. What would you call a man who has a light but chooses to stumble around in the darkness instead? What would you call someone who has a sword but never wields it, who has a love letter who never reads it, who ignores all of the counsel from their dearest friend, who has tons of delicious and satisfying food but never eats? I would say he's a fool and in real danger. There are a lot of things that we want in life, but there are only a few that we really need in life. And God's word heads the top of the list. We can't know the truth or know ourselves or know God's salvation or know God's ways. I say all this to motivate you to hear God's word, to want to hear it. Third, consider its benefits. And we're only scratching the surface, but Jesus has the words of eternal life. His word revives the soul, makes wise the simple, rejoices the heart, enlightens the eyes. Great peace have those who love God's word, and nothing can make them stumble. If we keep God's word, we abide in God's love, and our joy will be complete. Maybe you're here this morning, and this is the only truth that you need to hear. God doesn't just make commandments to make us miserable or to restrict us. It's just the opposite. We need to see the goodness in God's commands. Everything that God commands is for our good and for our greatest joy. Is it any wonder that the psalmists delight in God's word and desire so strongly to obey it? God's word is a greater treasure than a mountain of gold. It's the greatest earthly possession that you own. How can you not want to mine the riches of its depths every day for the wealth of its benefits that it has for you? How can you not want that? God's word transforms our lives by renewing our minds. I remember when I was just a new Christian, God's word helped me overcome swearing in my life. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up, that it may benefit those who listen." I memorized that verse in the NIV. I used to cuss like a sailor before I became a Christian. Almost every other word was a swear word. It was awful. And I saw this verse in scripture. After I became a Christian, I was like, I got it. This, I need this. So I wrote it down on 3x5 cards, and I put it everywhere. I hung it up on the mirror in my bathroom. I put it on the wall above the toilet paper. I put it on the dashboard of my car. I made bookmarks out of it and put it every one of my bookmarks had this verse in it. It was everywhere. It was always in my mind, and it changed my mind and transformed the way that I lived my life. God's word is the encouragement that we need in those moments when we are discouraged. Last Friday, not this Friday, but the one before, in the morning, I came to God's word and I was so anxious. I was so anxious about preaching God's word. My heart was having palpitations. I was freaking out. And I was giving this over to the Lord. And I just, quote, air quote, just happened to be in Zechariah chapter 4 that day. And Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, declares the Lord of hosts." It was exactly the word of encouragement that I needed at Dario 1,000 times over for the people in this room. And you might say, well, that's nice, Michael. That's kind of cute. You know, God gave you a little bit of encouragement right there. But I need something more real. I need something deeper from God. Well, how about this? As my dad battles cancer, he wakes up in the middle of the night because he can't sleep. And sometimes it's because he has pain. And sometimes it's because he is so anxious. And so he goes out into the dining room. He said this to me. He goes, "When I get up, I go out there and I just read God's word for like 45 minutes or an hour." He reads God's word every single day with my mom. He doesn't do it because he has to. He does it because he wants to. He does it because he needs the eternal perspective that Pastor Mark talked about. He needs the comfort and assurance and hope and promises that God's word offers to him. Oh, brothers and sisters, we have such a treasure. Be hearers of God's word. How do you hear God's word? There are tons of different ways. You come to church, you hear God's word. You do family worship at home. You read the scriptures and you hear God's word. You go to men's and women's ministry. You can hear God's word. You go to a Bible study. You have fellowship with other Christians. You know, Barbara, right? Bible study fellowship, leading it for 20 years because she wanted people to hear God's word. There are all kinds of ways that you hear God's word. But number one is your personal devotions. That's where it all begins. It's the most important one. So what's your plan? You need to make a plan for hearing God's word. There's lots of different plans out there to help you be consistent in reading God's word, to get into it every day so that you can feast on God's word. But let me say this. Read thoughtfully. Read carefully. Don't hurry. Make the time and take your time. You know, the goal isn't to get through God's word. There's all these reading plans that take you through the Bible in a year. The goal is not to get through God's word, but to get God's word through you. So be a hearer of God's word. All right, number three, be doers of God's word. We see it in the last two words of verse 21. Do it. I don't think it gets any more simple than that. Hearing God's word has to lead to obedience. We don't just hear the shepherd's voice. We also follow him, right? We do what he says. God's children hear the word of God and do it. I love Francis Chan's illustration on this. Imagine with me for a moment. You're a dad, I'm a dad, and you tell your daughter, go clean your room. This is what the room looks like, okay? Just help your imagination. Room's a mess. Tell your daughter, go clean your room. The next day, you come back, and it looks exactly like that. Nothing has moved. Nothing has been cleaned. It's exactly the same as before, right? So you go to your daughter, and you say, honey, what's going on? I asked you to go clean your room. Now, she knows she's not gonna get away with saying something like this, right? What's going on? She said, well, Dad, I memorized what you said. Every word. You said, go clean your room. You see? I got it. And, I can also say, go clean your room in both Hebrew and Greek. But not just that, I also read a book called 7 Ways to Clean Your Room. It was great. It really helped me understand what you said. It was life-changing. But not that, I also invited all my friends over from Bible study, and we talked about what you said. We talked about, you know, the importance of having a clean room and why you should have a clean room. And we talked about, like, what it would actually look like if I cleaned my room. It was so good. In fact, we decided that we're going to meet every week to talk about what you said. Now, what's the dad going to say? Is he going to say, well done, good job? No. He's going to say, just go clean your room. If that doesn't fly with dad, why do we think that kind of thing is going to fly with Jesus? Jesus doesn't want scribes. He wants servants. Jesus doesn't want professors. He wants followers. Our goal as Christians is not to master God's word, but to be mastered by God's word. Too many people have confused Christian maturity with knowing a lot about God and his word. That's not maturity in Christ. Maturity in Christ is applying what you know of God and his word. That means whenever we hear God's word, we need to consider what are the specific ways that I need to put this into practice in our daily lives. When you come to church, if you walk out the door and you say, man, that was a good sermon, and you've never thought, how is it going to impact my life? You haven't heard rightly. So here's a question I want you to wrestle with. What commands are you struggling to obey? I don't want you to think about someone else this morning. I want you to think about yourself. What is the command? You know what God says, but you are struggling or refusing to put that command into practice in your life. Maybe it's the command to go and make disciples of all nations. Maybe it's the command to practice hospitality to strangers. Maybe it's the command to love one another. Husbands, maybe it's the command to love and sacrifice for your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, maybe it's the command to submit to and respect your husbands. Children, maybe it's the command to honor and obey your parents. Not just obey, but honor them. Maybe it's the command to give generously. Maybe it's the command to avoid gossip. What is it in your life? Here's what you do when you identify it. Step number one is to repent and ask forgiveness. Repent and ask forgiveness. Admit your failure to God and your failure to obey his word and ask him to forgive you. It may also include asking forgiveness from someone in your life. It could be a spouse. It could be child. Could be your parent. Could be another brother or sister in Christ. So you repent and ask forgiveness. Step number two is to act in faith, to strive to be faithful to God's word, to be a humble servant, to put God's word into practice. Step number three is to pray for the Spirit's help to do this. We're praying Hebrews 13:21. God, would you equip me with everything good that I might do your will? Okay, just like Zechariah, right? It's not our power. It's not our strength. It's the Spirit of God that does this in us. Amen? So we pray for it. That's step three. Step four is repeat this process every single day until you die. Every day until you die. Because no one in this room is perfect. And no one will be perfect until you reach heaven. That means every single person in this room struggles with this. every single person needs to go through this process. Repent, trust and obey, pray and repeat. Those four steps, always. So what is it for you? We respond to God's good news of salvation that Jesus preaches with faith. But true saving faith follows Jesus Christ. Disciples hear and obey his teaching. It's the one who hears the word of God and does it that is a true child of God and will enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't have Jesus as your savior without also having him as your Lord. Lord of your life. And you can call Jesus your Lord all day long if you want to. But if you do not do what he says, you are kidding yourself. Lots of people call themselves followers of Jesus Christ, but their lives don't look anything like his. Don't be deceived. Everything will be revealed. So take care to hear the word of God and do it. Apply yourself fully to the scriptures and apply the scriptures fully to yourself. Let's pray. God, we just thank you and we praise you for your word this morning. Your word is awesome. God, I just pray that you would move in our hearts to be hearers and to be doers of your word. We want to pray with the psalmist today. Your testimonies are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever. Lord, teach us your ways. Give us understanding that we would keep your word with our whole heart. Incline our hearts to your word, God, so that when we think on our ways, we will turn our feet to your testimonies. We will hasten and not delay to keep your commands. God, let us know the rich blessings and the joy of hearing and doing your word. We ask it and we pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.